We're studying life from the scripture in Galatians, in Luke 12:15. One of the least understood things in the whole Christian doctrine is the fall. The fall is something maybe that happened historically, but it doesn't have anything to do with us. And the evidence of that is that much of modern Christianity teaches self-realization in the name of God. And that is, if from God's point of view, that has to be really evil. So let's look at Ephesians 4 to see what the fall did. We read a little bit of part of this yesterday, and we read 4:17, but let's read it again. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. The idea is that the fall caused an alienation from the life of God. It caused a massive veil to be over our minds. And unless you see that, you won't understand why death is necessary. It will just be another philosophy for self-improvement. And it can't be emphasized enough. We are alienated because of the fall. What?
Was he talking Gentiles who are not believers here?
No, he's talking to Gentiles who are believers. That they walk not as other Gentiles. Don't conduct your life in any way like other Gentiles. Don't fear what they fear. Don't esteem what they esteem. Don't love what they love. What's the about?
Well, I can't imagine. I guess these are self-seeking believers, which is odd.
Well, he's exhorting the people at Ephesus, who probably have fallen away in the same way that the modern church falls away, or we fall away, that we don't walk that way anymore. It's an exhortation that it can never be stated enough. And it's a point in which, in examining your life, are you walking as other Gentiles?
I guess you only have to look at the facts to recognize that. You know, if you get confused and you think you're not being spoken to, let a fast hit so you realize how many things that you got to have.
This is Tom, fresh off a fast.
All right. Now, men become partakers of the life, the only life. Are you going to share it with the rest of us?
Nope. What number are you on?
We haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, I thought you were.
Let's go to John chapter 3.
Thank you.
Verse 11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I had told you earthly things, and you believe it not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. If life isn't eternal, it's not life from God's perspective. And that's where confusion comes in our use of the word life. Because it looks like we have life. All right. For God so loved the world, the cosmos, he loved the bride, that he gave his Son, the only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Let's go to 1 John. I mean, to John 1, not 1 John. From God's perspective, there's no difference between light and life. No difference between the way, life, light, and truth. They're all the same thing. Well, let's read that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, if he is the life, and the life was the light of men, then the only reason that people don't see the light and the life, and partakers of the life, is because they love the darkness more than the light. I think if we studied it, that the darkness there, the love of the darkness more than the light, is the word twilight. They love the twilight more than the light. You know, looking back, I can't believe that I ever believed anything different than I do today. I can't believe that I was ever that stupid. I can't believe that I was seduced into believing that this thing, this body of sin and death, could be something, could do something.
That'd be because you shunned the law, is that not right?
No, it's because I love the darkness more than the light. I didn't even know the law existed.
That's what I'm saying. If you don't have laws, there's no restrictions. You just look for life in your own efforts.
Anyway, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. No, excuse me, chapter 1.
I'm there.
That's a first.
Had to count it up.
I know it. Oh, I screwed up. Never mind. Chapter 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead. That's a pretty declarative statement. You are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our only life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Your life is hid with Christ in God, because your life is Christ. There's no other life. Let's go to John, back to John, John 6. Jews he's saying that he is the Christ and he's the bread from heaven. And then verse 31, our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, even more give us this bread evermore. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, we've talked about this so many times, but going all the way back to the snake was condemned to eat dust all the days of his life. And the snake, obviously, that we've talked about, is your mind. That's what you eat. Dust. Could be expensive dust, because what you eat is what gives you sustenance and satisfaction. Anybody understand that? And the evidence of what you eat is your speech, what you talk about. If you talk about politics, then politics gives you life. Gives you sustenance and satisfaction. It gives you identity. If you talk about sports, it gives you identity. It gives you sustenance and satisfaction. If you talk about anything in the world, that's what you're eating. That's what gives you your sustenance and satisfaction. But we are called to eat only of the bread of life. Eating only his flesh. His flesh alone gives us sustenance and satisfaction, and his blood alone gives us worth. We have people now, they're trying to trace their genealogies back to who knows when to give them worth. John's family, before you could just push a button on the computer, they had their genealogy traced back to kings. How'd that work out for you?
Well, there's also a few horse thieves in there.
There were a few horse thieves.
Bad King John.
Oh, I thought that was somebody's telephone. But does this communicate? Do you really understand what gives you sustenance and satisfaction is what you eat? Your mind is condemned to eat dust. That's why out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. Identity.
And you are somebody, and you're not just accidentally here or something. So, but it does give you something. But in light of Christ and eternal life, there's a big gap.
Go to verse 48 of John 6. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now, do you eat his flesh? Do you drink his blood? Your manner of life, your walk, and your conversation will change if you do. I don't care whether you do or not, that's your business. But every time we talk about this, you can hear the minds go, well, how can I eat his flesh? How can I drink his blood? Every time we take the afterman or communion, we do it. We supposedly. But in reality, what we should be doing is every time we take solid food, it's testifying of our death in his life. And every time we drink any liquid, it testifies of his blood. It gives us work. It should be the constant reminder. Every time we breathe in, we're breathing in the Holy Spirit. Every time we breathe out, we're exhaling us. And that should be our, this is why the issue, every time we go to the bathroom, we expel that which came in by accident or by stupidity. This issue of life is the most important issue. You either have eternal life or you don't. You can accept Jesus as your personal Savior till hell freezes over. If you're not eating his flesh, it won't do you any good. This is why we do the feast. This is why we do everything. So you can understand what it means to eat his flesh and drink his blood. All right, let's go down to verse 63 and then we'll get out of John.
This is still all about ID.
What?
It's still still all about your identity. And either you can identify your life in him, as him, with him. You sense that, however that happens. Or your life is in your accomplishments and your...
It's in dust.
Yeah. And so it's an internal knowledge.
But it's an internal situation that has outward manifestation. All right, verse 63. Well, let's go to... let's go. Well, we have to read more from the same place. Verse 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, or food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth the flesh, he that eateth me shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your father did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. He said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who would betray him, or who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him by the Father, by my Father." From that time many of his disciples, went back and walked no more with him. Then he said unto the 12, "Will you also go away?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and would believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" So he had the starting of a mega church. He had just fed the 5,000, and all this came after the 5,000. 4,988 left because of the issue about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Let's go to John 5. We're in John. Verily, verily, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Now, believeth on him is much stronger than believeth in him. All right, let's go to 1 John, chapter, I don't know yet. Hmm. Here's another tell in this cosmic poker game. First John chapter 3, let's start in verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, and the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we have loved the brethren. One of John's songs has that. Those I once despised, I find now that I could love, or something like that. And that's true. You can't act like you love somebody, especially live in community. Right? These are the biggest, hardest sayings that Jesus could have said. They need to give us pause. Not just some idle talk here. Well, that's enough for life.
There's a funny concept here, because he talks about death as if it were not dead, but abiding in no God.
That's death.
Right. Well, but that's not laying on the ground expired.
Again, from God's perspective, it is. That's why we must see the same thing. We will see the same thing if we hear the same thing. It doesn't give a rat's ass what our perspective of it is. We must confess the Lord Jesus. We must see as he sees, because we hear as he hears. You're pretty quiet.
I was thinking of that, where forget he said, the provoke one another to love.
Right.
You know, and it's like we're not supposed to provoke one another to behave, provoke one another to do anything other than
love.
This what this love is. So it's like, and that's not, like you said, that's the thing you can't fake. You can fake all the other kind of stuff. You can even fake out yourself.
Well, you can fake love. Everybody stand up and tell three people you love them.
But that's the reality that he's looking for there.
We've never done that here.
No, we're not ever going to do it here, as long as I'm alive. But again, these are the issues of life that matter. Everything else is just commentary. Anybody else have a response? The human race is dead. and God permit all that crap that's going on. He doesn't even see it. It's the same as, it's exactly the same as the idea of what your sperm cells do. There's jillions, billions of sperm cells, 150 million sperm cells every time you ejaculate. And you don't even know they exist. The only ones you know that exist are the ones that joined with an egg and become the child. And that's God's perspective. And man, do I get in trouble when I say that. But it's true. Well, please, please, please. If this isn't manifest in your life, find out why and repent.
Yeah, it's like we're wasting a lot of time if we're not.
Amen.
Having this happen. Sitting around here.
Any other comments from the peanut gallery? That's your guys' table, by the way, the peanut gallery.
That's funny. No one else hardly talks. And he'd be mad if nobody did. He needs us, I guess.
No, I do. But I'll tell you what, every once in a while, Mr. Bojo steps up to the plate.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, Mr. Bojo, you need to come join us in the peanut gallery.
You know, science would like us to believe that there are sperm cells, but I've never actually seen them.
That probably ranks as the dumbest thing you've ever said.
Oh, science would like us to believe.
Just because, you know. They say scientists.
Oh, well, what do you think Becca and Johnny are?
Well, you get married,
and then, we're crazy.
And then you get married, and your wife sits in a chair about 6 months after you're married, and then you sit in that chair accidentally, and 3 months later, the child was born.
Oh, you got it down there, John. Take it, big guy, quickly.